You're on.
Good morning. I'm Paul James from the chairperson of the Building Inspector Licensing Board. I would like to call this meeting of the Building Inspector Licensing Board to order. It's now 10:10 a.m. on September 16th, 2019. This meeting is being held in room 474 of the Heber M. Wiltz Building in Salt Lake City. In compliance to Utah's open meetings laws, the meeting is being recorded in its entirety. This recording is classified as public record. The following Building Inspector Licensing Board members are in attendance: Jerry Thompson, George Williams, Terry Palmer, Paul James. The following building boards are absent: Jennifer Youngblood.
Youngfield.
Excuse me. The following individuals representing Doppel and the Department of Commerce are in attendance: Robin Barkdahl and Sharon Smiley. We welcome all visitors and interested persons at this time, which there are none. As a courtesy of everyone participating in this meeting at this time, we ask you to turn for all cell phones, pagers, and electronic devices to be turned off or changed to silent mode. Board motions and votes will be recorded in the minutes. Let us now proceed with the agenda. We call for an approval of the minutes of the September 18th, 2018 meeting.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
The motion's been made by Jerry Thompson. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by George Williams. All in favor?
Yeah. Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Item two on the agenda is a letter to the building inspectors regarding the legislative changes.
Yes.
You want to take this part over?
I will. Be happy to.
Explain this.
Fine. Our division director, Mark Steinigle, sent a letter out to building inspectors. Those of you that are building inspectors would have received that. You've got a copy also with your packet. This letter was went over three different things. The first was the reporting to the state construction registry, and I don't know if any of you are receiving feedback. I just wanted to kind of go over this a little bit and get your take on it, find out if you're hearing anything, if these are issues in your jurisdictions or not. But apparently only about 48% of the jurisdictions are reporting the building permits to the state construction registry. Mm-hmm. So that's not a very high percentage. So this letter was requesting building inspectors to work with their building departments and make sure you encourage the building permits to be reported. And with the lien recovery fund disappearing, it's really important, not disappearing, but phasing out, it's really important to make sure that those building permits are recorded and that that building history is followed along from the beginning through the end. So whatever you can do to get that word out and talk with your peers and also your building departments and see if we can get. I know some jurisdictions are very good and probably have 100%, and some are probably terrible, have zero. But the average is 50%, and that's just not.
So is this
good.
The recording of the 1% funds, or is
no,
this straight permit
this
numbers?
This is straight permit permits. Numbers.
So anytime, like in our case, anytime that a permit is issued, I can't remember if we're doing the end of day or end of week, where we batch the inspection, the copies of the permit to the registry.
So this is everything, water heaters, everything.
Everything. Every permit.
And then does it go into this database that the University of Utah manages, or a separate one?
Utah Interactive manages it.
Utah Interactive.
Uh-huh. They're the portal for Utah.gov. But they manage the state construction registry, both the education on it and the registry itself, but they're called Utah Interactive.
Okay.
And also with that letter, in conjunction with the state construction registry, there was a page that was sent out just kind of simplifying and basically saying, this is how you do it.
This is what needs to be
done.
Right?
Yeah. And then also a support and a number and an email address.
So when it says complete permits, this is just a permit that's issued or a closeout?
This is issued.
Issued.
They want this at the start of the job, because there's a lien that goes on to it, so they can track and get through into the process with it. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it says 15 days after being issued, so it's got to be sent in.
So this was sent out just in August.
Yes.
So you haven't seen any results from the letter yet.
Yeah.
I can attest that every one of my building inspectors on my staff that are licensed with the state got it.
Sure.
And every one of them came into my office and said, why am I getting this, Jerry?
Yeah.
And they were asking about it. So
about all phases of it? Or just the state construction?
All phases of it.
Why did I get the responsibility individually?
Yeah,
because tell them that you need to be aware of it and you need to know. That's why you got it.
Yeah.
So, okay. And there are about 400... combination building inspectors and 325 limited building inspectors.
What was those numbers again? How many?
398.
398.
Combination inspectors and 328 limited. And that could be as limited as
just fine.
You know, just one ICC certification. But
and usually at renewal time.
So that's November.
The number of combination increases because they have all eight, and instead of renewing, they just apply for the combination license.
So, for reference, 2014, when I was pulling all this data, mm-hmm. there were 315 combinations.
So
it's
that's
gone up.
Good.
It's gone up.
85.
But
more.
My question is, how many will choose not to renew their license? Because mm-hmm. I know a
lot. Yeah, because some of those will have retired in the last
year. Some of them just maintain them forever,
yeah.
mm-hmm. even though they're retired.
Yeah.
So they're not really in the workforce anymore, but they're still licensed.
Yeah, and we don't have any way to track that.
Do they have to do continuing education?
No, they have to have their ICC certifications, and that's something we're going
to
talk about.
They do have to have ICC required. ICC, yes.
Doppel doesn't require it. ICC requires it. And we're going to talk about that further down the road. But so back to the letter then. That was the first issue, was the building permits. The second, there were two legislative issues that our director wanted building inspectors to be aware of. The first was that the division has received some complaints regarding that three-day plan review. This is to complete plan reviews and inspections. It's not a three-day plan review.
Okay.
Plan review time and three-day inspection process. And just encouraging building inspectors to, because this isn't really a building inspector issue. Even though the letter went out to building inspectors, I know building inspectors are very limited to what the jurisdiction can handle. So just encourage them to talk to their jurisdictions to make sure that they're aware that we're not able to get out there and do the inspections. We either need, you know, more funds or whatever to be compliant with the law, because it is against the law, according to the statute, to not do those in a timely manner or the inspections in the 3 days. So that was the second thing, was the statutory timeliness. The third was a recent legislative change. It was actually in the last session, where building inspectors can be cited for requiring anything that's outside of the building code, over and above what's in the building code. and issuing DOPL citation authority. We've never had citation authority for that, but now we do. So is that...
Now, we discussed that, though. If there's something from the jurisdiction that they're asked to enforce outside of the building code, then we were allowing that to still happen,
yeah,
right?
If there's some kind of an amendment that is jurisdiction-wide that your jurisdiction requires, then that would be different than just a building inspector.
And for instance, I mean, there's a requirement in my jurisdiction for landscaping,
mm-hmm.
whether it's installed or not, and it's just a notification
right.
of that.
Right.
That we do. But it's outside of the building code, obviously.
But
right.
that's not but issuing your permit. That's not doing
oh,
inspections.
Yeah.
That's a
final inspection.
But
this, yeah.
so if you've still done your final inspection within the 3 days, and just left a note for that.
Yeah. That's an item that still needs to be corrected and left over from there.
Yeah, if it's a requirement or a city ordinance or anything mm-hmm. like that, that would not be addressed to this. But if there was a building inspector that was requiring something over and above during
and
an inspection.
No issues with that. Nothing's been brought before the board
not before us, but it's happened.
We do get complaints.
Oh, I get nothing all the time.
But nothing that has...
Inspectors are requiring the wood to be light tan instead of brown.
So what's the process for someone in that?
We'd open an investigation.
So they file a complaint.
Mm-hmm. And then investigations would investigate the complaint, find out if the...
Doppel investigations.
If the inspector had, gone rogue or whatever, then they could be issued a citation. Or if it was more critical than that, it could come to the board if it was something that was,
So the complaints we have got get turned over to a doppel investigator already?
We will tell them if they want to file a complaint.
Oh, okay.
That they can do so.
So it's an informal complaint that we're...
Yeah, somebody using. Just griping on the phone, but we tell them what the complaint process is, and if they want to go ahead and pursue that, they can file a complaint, and it will be investigated.
We have had one, since I've been on the committee, one building inspector that we have had to review complaints on.
Right.
That was a number of years ago.
I usually tell them to go to the building and take the codes, go to the building inspector and show them this is what required.
Right.
And then if he still doesn't agree to go to their city council.
Yep. It'll be interesting.
Or encourage them to appeal it with their jurisdiction. And some have done that.
Because it's going to be a weird... And that's why we have this board, obviously. But Jerry has an inspector. And he knows that Jerry wants him to call the code a certain way. Say Jerry was enforcing something not in the code. Now the inspector's license is going to be impacted by doing what his superior tells him to do. And that's where it's going to be confusing, because Jerry's going to say, hey, I didn't write the inspection.
But you get that
he can't go after his license.
But you get that in all professions. You have that where they follow a certain line.
Right.
And you're right, though. I mean, but if the inspector that knows that it's wrong and he doesn't stand up for it, then, yeah, technically, because he's enforcing something that's not in the code,
right,
he is at risk.
And like you say, that happens in all professions.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Well, my boss tells me how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an excuse.
No, it's really not.
That's what I tell my guys. We work for a lot of different cities, and I'm like, hey, you all have your own license, and... Just because mm-hmm. City A wants you to do it this way, you still have to go based off your professional judgment. Mm-hmm. You're the one with the license.
That's right. I think a lot of this stemmed from there are a few older building inspectors who were still trying to enforce the uniform building code.
Yeah.
And refused mm-hmm. to change. So.
They loved it.
Yeah.
I have to admit, you have to stay right on top of it. Luckily, I never actually enforced it, but in the back of my mind, there was always an element that's in the old UBC in regards to a minimum stair height in residential that's just not there in the IRC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Luckily, to my advantage, everybody is always trying to push the higher end of it rather than the lower. And when I finally realized it, I quickly changed my my method, but nobody ever had to write, to my knowledge, nobody ever wrote me up.
Oh, we've had so many complaints against you.
They just keep them filed.
Yeah, we do. We have a file on you. It's about this thick.
You're making I'm on this board anyway.
So we can keep an eye on you.
When you tell Robin no, just remember, she's got that file.
That's right. We'll use it against you. Okay, and then the third was the, I did say that about the citation authority, so we do have the citation. And that was the letter. Are there any other questions?
Is there a way we could maybe get a report over the last quarter for turning in these so that we could kind of see what entities are?
You bet. I can see if Utah Interactive can get us the information on that.
But I don't know if it's possible, but it'd be interesting to see.
Well, if they're saying that they have 50%, then they've got to be able to know. They've got to be able to quantify which jurisdictions are.
If 50% of the jurisdictions, but 40% of those have 1,000 people, then the overall collection of data is pretty accurate. You know, like if you're doing jurisdiction by jurisdiction, 50 out of the 100, but you've got all of them in the Wasatch Front that are significant size.
Or they might be saying, like Cache County, where I'm from, they do a lot of their own inspections. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of the other cities, they contract other cities. Are those cities considered an entity and Cache County's considered an entity? And it
looks like a whole, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to see that. So that, because I'm on the Hiram City Council too, and I'd like to know that just for my own reasons.
There's no legal requirement to report that, or there is?
You know, I don't know. There's a legal requirement.
On which end? The inspectors report to the state registry? The state registry report that out?
The inspectors report to the state registry.
I think there is a legal requirement to do that.
What is a penalty?
I don't know that there's a penalty.
But isn't this to protect the consumer mostly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it should be being done.
It's basically
it's really to protect everybody that's involved in the building process, the consumer, the suppliers, the subs.
The contractors. Mm-hmm. It stops the rogue contractors are out there. They're just filing liens against properties where they really didn't do any work. But that's the purpose of this, is basically to initiate and start that actual work has been done on a project.
Or that the sub does the work, it takes the money, it doesn't pay the supplier.
Well, see, we have some... in the city council thing again, and we had somebody come in and wanted a building permit, and some of the people complained that they'd been building, that they had received notice that there was being a lien flap out against their homes because the supplier never got paid, and the general paid the sub, but the sub hadn't paid. So they was going after the homeowner, which, you know, is something that's a big thing. So I think it's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
What about the gal that takes all the pictures of the permit?
That's Construction Registry. That's a private construction monitor. Construction monitor, sorry.
But in theory, you can contract this element out to a third party, couldn't you?
You could. I think essentially that's what they've done, but they're, instead of sending somebody around to every individual place, they're just saying, hey, we're requiring the cities to send it in themselves. So,
because they probably have a lot of the information that Utah Interact is lacking. They could pair up somehow.
Might be how they're doing, how they figured it out. I don't know.
Okay. Any other discussions on that? Okay, Ron. Now you had a breath, be able to take a breath to go on HB 90.
Okay, so we have two different legislative bills that passed. That one doesn't really affect the building inspectors, but I want to just talk about it briefly. It's House Bill 226, and you're probably aware that the focus, and it's really nationwide, is to lower the barrier to licensing. There's a lot of individuals and different groups that are very instrumental in trying to either do away with licensing or make it less prohibitive for a lot of different professions. So one of the things that passed during the legislative cycle or session was asking each profession to take a look at the time-based requirement of their profession. So again, our director asked that we talk about with each one of our boards if there was anything that could be done to, rather than have it time-based, be competency-based. Building inspectors don't really have a time-based requirement. You're just based on ICC certification, so it doesn't really apply to you. But that's what the bill is. There's a lot of professions that have both education experience and that experience is gained over a time period, apprentices or a 1 year, 2,000 hour type requirement in addition to their education. And so some of them are taking a look at could they take a competency test rather than have to have a certain number of hours in the profession. But I don't see that that could apply to building inspectors.
Not unless we would like to implement that mm-hmm. into ours and do some sort of apprenticeship with it. I don't think we want to go down that road. I think the way we have it right now is actually meeting their requirements. Because somebody could walk in, for the most part, with the certification, they apply, they pay the money to Doppel, and in a short time, a review or whatever happens administratively, they receive their license. Yeah.
And there's no requirement on those ICC certifications that you have to wait a certain length of time, right? You can earn them as quickly.
The only time requirement that is given in the ICC is the hour and a half to 2 hours for the exam. And if you can devote yourself to that much time, then that you met the time requirement.
You can take those tests as quick as you want.
Yeah. Yeah, see, sure. The apprentice plumbers and electricians are going through it. Mm-hmm. The thing on this. Mm-hmm.
And they're the two that are really going through it. But.
Right.
Okay, so that's kind of what I thought when I thought about building inspectors.
With a white paintbrush that was painted on this, I don't think that we meet this requirement. Let me rephrase that. We don't... we're not underneath review, it doesn't apply to us.
A time-based requirement.
Right.
And I just need to be able to report back that I've discussed it with each of my boards. So, okay, the second was House Bill 90. This one does affect all professions. There was a change in the criminal history. As you know, when you apply for any profession, and building inspector included, you fill out a questionnaire that asks about your criminal history. In the past, the law says that the criminal history that you explain has to have a reasonable relationship to the profession that you're applying to. That word reasonable has been changed to substantial. Again, the barrier to licensing. If something happened in the past that would keep you from ever entering that profession, they want that bar raised so that it's not just a reasonable. For instance, they talked about a DUI. I think a DUI probably has a reasonable correlation between any profession, but it has a substantial correlation to some. So now that has been changed to substantial. And they've asked that I'm going to pass this out to you, and we're not going to spend really any time talking about it, but they've asked each bureau to take a look at the professions that we license, and I think you've got that.
Mm-hmm.
And to kind of determine if some of these criminal histories are always a barrier, sometimes a barrier, they need review, they don't need review, it depends on whether they're 10 years old, 5 years old. So this is a matrix that the bureau that does plumbing and electrical has put together. So I just want you to take it and maybe take a look at it We can talk about it if you'd like to.
When you say plumbing electrical, for plumbers and electricians?
Plumbers and electricians, the bureau that licenses them, yeah. They've come up with this matrix. So if you had alcohol-restricted driver violation, always the license would be issued. I'm not sure. I 100% agree on that because my husband was a plumbing contractor, and if he had alcohol-restricted violations, his guys didn't drive the truck.
Exactly.
So, but they've still, they could be issued a license, they just couldn't do, you know, something for the company. Yeah.
Okay, so I did look at this, Robin. My question was, is this a 0 to 1? So this is years that it's in the
that
past.
That it's in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the green issue means...
You just, okay,
just
so this is for the licensing techs. If they get a license in, they would just issue it. If it says review, it has to go to the bureau manager for review.
Right now, for instance, if I was to apply for a plumbing license and I had had a sexual issue or anything like that, I would have to go before the board and be approved to be able to have a license. And that's, and it's been with any felony, right?
Well, it depends. Some, we license funeral services. In their statute, it says they can't have a felony, a first or second degree felony. So it doesn't need any review. If they have one,
it's a block.
It's a block. And it doesn't matter what that's for. So I'm kind of pressing for a statutory change on them because some felonies are, it just depends on when they were and what they were. In particular, I'm thinking of a woman who applied who had a prescription drug felony charge, and it was brought about by she was getting a divorce, and there was a lot of, it was an ugly divorce, and there was a lot on both sides, and this was her husband that was beneficial in getting her to have this felony charge. Unless we change the statute, she can never be licensed. She wants to be a funeral pre-need, and you know, my hands are tied. She has a second degree felony, and so until she can get that expunged or whatever, she can't have a license. And so that's, to me, seems like somebody should have a review as opposed to, because that seems excessive. But any criminal history that we have on any of our professions, if there's a yes answer, they bring to me for review where I can take a look at the circumstances and how long it is.
So even if it's green here, you could still review it?
If it's red. Yeah, if it's green. If it's green, if there's a yes answer, they always bring it to me. But then we don't get hundreds and hundreds of applications. Some of these professions do.
Right.
So we're able to review each one of them. But I think they still... apparently, from what the legislative mandate is and what our directors ask, they would still like us to have some kind of, it's for consistency. So if John has this and Judy has this, they're treated fairly and not that, well, you know, this background here and this background there. They want a matrix that says, well, if you have this, if you have a marijuana criminal history violation, this is what happens. And to me, it's not always that cut and dried, but they still want a matrix saying, if you have this violation, it requires review. If
so
you have this one, it requires
review. Plumbing and Electrical Board both agreed on this?
Yeah, they've taken a look at this. Both of them have used this. And I think it's still in the works. This is just what...
I've always liked that. Being a father or a husband... I've always liked to be able to have some kind of a check and balance mm-hmm. for somebody that's going to be coming into my home mm-hmm. and working on a furnace. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to see HVAC licensing
mm-hmm.
right.
for that simple fact.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I think it could be said, this, I mean, inspectors, if you've got to go in and inspect a water heater, the installation or anything like that, I think it should be...
Well, but
yeah.
to that...
Shouldn't be any different.
To that point, though, you have a little bit different makeup of the profession when you're dealing with inspectors versus a tradesman,
mm-hmm.
such as an electrician or plumber. From the simple fact of most of these are hired by jurisdictions who are already going to do a background check and determine whether or not they meet the qualifications as a city or county or even state employee.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a check there that's in place. The problem comes into place.
Don't they hire upon licensure, though?
I mean,
if I was to apply for Centerville City as an inspector, and was on that application, I would probably put my license.
Yes.
Right. My inspector's license.
But that's not the only thing that the city goes by.
It's a criminal background check.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with that, but this is not really a big issue. Like Robin said, I think it'd be good to have something consistent throughout that construction industry.
And I think that's where I'm going with it, too, is the fact that, I mean, we're not going to be as hypercritical.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you're not in the homes, generally, doing any kind of service work. You're in new construction.
We do go into homes, but we don't walk in. The occupants are there. Those are guidelines that the city policy. The problem comes into play when you're dealing with third parties and whether or not, and how they're hired, how they do their hiring, and so forth. And they may or may not have the background check. So having something in place,
But even these paint reviews doesn't mean
that they
can't get it.
No, it doesn't.
But it's also something consistent, so you don't have
this matrix. It just means the bureau manager made the decision, not the license.
Or that it goes to the board.
Yeah, I think the license issuers, I think it would be better to have one matrix rather than saying, oh, let me get into the... you know, the beautician's matrix, or let me get into the inspector's matrix, or the plumber's matrix.
Well, they do have different...
And where roles. That word substantial is now in there, things that might be substantially related to the plumbing trade probably won't be substantially related to the cosmetology trade.
True. But like what's in the plumbing trade pretty well be in the construction trade all through.
Around the construction.
Yeah.
But like for a plumber, if I'm going to have a plumber, you know, digging trenches and installing pipe, I don't care if he has issues with forgery and false personal information, but if he's a city inspector,
that's
writing out these legally binding forms and documents.
But that would be more of a plumber that's digging trenches and installing pipes and trenches. They're also setting fixtures or fixing faucets or replacing water heaters in that same home because you'd have that license.
Right, same guy.
And so that's some of the things that the board might put a restriction on a license too. They might issue it, but if he's had some kind of a felony or an issue against him, I've been in some of the meetings where they put a restriction that they can only work on commercial jobs.
Mm-hmm. Robin, where did the list come from initially? One of the bureau managers created that, and then if the time frames and everything were added by the board.
When you do a court search, these are the charges that come up.
Okay.
Also, some of the assault and battery, I would be more concerned of as the building official, just because you put your guys in some more like that. What do you call them?
Volatile situations.
As a building official, I want to make sure that the employee's not coming back on me.
But I guess the contractors have the same environment. It's just with a different superintendent or something.
Yeah, well, sometimes, on the other hand, contractors may be the ones that don't like inspectors, and you probably feel that. So you don't feel the love sometimes.
Well, we just had this one, this shooting that happened. Landscaper in Riverton, the homeowner had paid him a bunch of money, he wasn't getting his work done, so he sued him, and the guy showed up at his door and shot him.
I'm all too familiar with people getting shot.
Yeah.
Is there a time frame on this?
No, just take a look at it. Talk to maybe some of your other peers or whatever. If there's something you feel strongly about, send us an email, either to Sharon or me or both of us, and just, you know, we can talk about it. I do like the construction-wide matrix idea, and nothing has been decided. They've just asked us to talk about this and to approach it and to kind of begin an initial discussion. So take a look at it and
fishing without a license in a big block.
Yeah.
We know you not have inspectors are fishing pole sitting on the back sill.
Anything else that needs to be discussed on this?
No, not on. Oh, and then just the other thing is, and this is a new change too with that House Bill 90, but a good one. If someone is interested in pursuing a profession, but they do have some criminal background and they don't know if it's going to be a barrier, they can now make application to the division saying, a pre-application saying, this is what I want to do before I go get all these ICC certifications. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a barrier to me for licensing? So that it saves, you know, time, money, stress, emotional headache, and whatever. So it'll be a division-wide application, and then whichever bureau it involves will take a look at it and be able to kind of give them an assessment saying, you know, well, if you waited this long, or if you know there's no problem, or hey, there's no way you're ever going to get a license with that kind of a background history. So that they at least know up front before they...
If you've got a life sentence and you're on death row, don't apply.
Yeah, something like
that. What about retroactively? Like, say you already are a licensed plumber, and then you get a public intoxication...
You have to...
Then you'll go
you
on
have
probation.
Every time you relicense, mm-hmm. you have to make a legal statement, a disclaimer, that you have not had any felonies in the past 2 years.
Okay. And do you know how many
don't? Yeah,
and don't admit to them.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
And, but would it be under the same criteria? Like, what if here is done green?
Yeah.
So
yeah, if they disclose it and say, yeah, I had a DUI and it's a green thing and they're renewing, then we just issue the license. We get criminal history yes answers on renewals all the time. That we just okay, you know, yeah, that's probably okay, and then we'll just issue it. But if it's something that then needs discipline, then they'll either, depending on, they can be limited, they can be put on probation, their license can be revoked, they can be taken for a formal administrative hearing before the board.
Right.
So it just depends on what it is.
So if they say no, and it has happened, though, Sharon,
and it opens them up for a $500 fine and a citation for misrep on the application.
Yeah, in addition to what they've done.
So anyway, I mean, any time I've done it in the last 10 years, it's, you know, but yeah, you haven't caught me yet.
Yeah. And what, again, it's going to be a discussion on the next item because, okay, so that was everything on those two.
All right.
So that is a good lead into the ICC certifications, the verification procedures. You guys can give me some information and let me tell you what's going on and maybe some suggestions of what we need to do. Mm-hmm. We received a phone call just 2 or 3 weeks ago about a jurisdiction. It was one employee calling about another employee who said, I happen to know for a fact that this guy does not have his ICC certifications or did not have them when he was hired for the job. I pointed it out. This is him talking. He pointed it out to their boss. The guy immediately went in and updated his certifications. So if you look him up on the ICC page now, it shows he has current certifications. Mm-hmm. But his complaint was is he did not have them for several years running, and he didn't have them when he applied for the job that he got. Now, this employee was overlooked for the same job. So, you know, there's an investigation. Yeah, we don't know if it's a grudge or just genuine concern. But so we have a current investigation of this building inspector going on. ICC won't even release the records to us of if he's kept his certifications, but we'll be able to subpoena them. But so here's the question. Again, like Sharon says, when you guys renew, you say, yeah, I've got my ICC certifications. If a new code is adopted, you're supposed to recertify according to the new code.
No.
That's what the...
It's always said that, and we've always wondered what that meant, because...
Yeah, so ICC, when ICC came about, underneath the old UBC model, which is where the law was originally drafted from, in order to maintain a cert in plumbing inspection, you had to either take an exam in plumbing or you had to attend a renewal class in plumbing. Somewhere along the lines in the last 15 years or so, mm-hmm. ICC changed the model, and so that it is just take a renewal class of some sort.
Continuing education.
Okay, and you guys do that to recertify. Yes. So we probably need to change our application then, because it says on it, I certify that I carry all certifications, and if a new code has been issued, I've recertified in the new code.
Yes. Well,
but I guess technically
wouldn't that
you are.
Be doing that, though?
Yeah. If their requirement is just to take a continuing ed class and you're doing that, then
but for example, I could take continuing ed in electrical and recertify in plumbing.
But we need we have to renew our certifications every 3 years anyway. So we're generally taking CEUs on the new codes every 3 years.
So if you don't do your recertification, Terry, do you not get you don't get a license?
Why not just
have them give a copy of the license?
Okay, and so that's what I listed. We don't ask for any certification. We just say, have you certified?
It's an honor system.
It's an honor system.
Exactly.
Okay, occasionally we audit professions. We've audited contractors. Have you done your continuing ed? This past time we audited the funeral industry, just random audit. Send us in your continuing ed. They have to do 20 hours. Verify that you've done it. With this board's approval, I would like to do a random audit of the building inspectors following this renewal cycle. So after
everyone or select,
it would be a random, strict, totally random percentage.
But isn't contractors and plumbers, electricians, don't they have like 100% audit because they have to have that input?
They have, because theirs is an online system, and that's why they have an online system, is because the last audit we did of them, less than 50% had really done their continuing ed when they said they had. So they now have, they can't renew without.
Right.
So ICC has an online system, and every time you take continuing ed, you go in there and you enter them in and everything.
So it'd be easy enough to print it off. If you were audited by Doppel and we said, we need to see your current ICC certification.
Oh, yeah, it's easy enough.
It would be easy enough to print it off.
Who puts it in, you, or does the...
That's the thing. We put it in, but then they audit us. Like, Mike in our office got audited recently. Like, those audits happen on a fairly consistent basis.
Why couldn't you just have them upload a picture of their current certification?
See, that's the other part of it ICC isn't on this.
So ICC is a website. You can type in your name, search for certified professionals, push enter, and it comes up, and it'll tell you the expiration date of all your certifications. But if I screenshotted that or something and sent it to Doppel, I could edit any number on there.
I could edit everybody that renews because I search ICC's website to see what you're certified in.
Right.
Before I issue a license.
But a lot of the people that were grandfathered in, they certified through UAPMO or through the UBC. They may not show up anything in that audit.
But they should still.
They still have to have a cert.
But it's not if I got my electrical through IAEI and took their certification.
Okay.
I could get electrical.
Okay, you're right. That's unbooted.
Or IAPMA.
Probably not. You're right. But I mean, you still have to maintain that as current.
And you still have to renew that.
Yeah.
You still got to renew with ICC.
Because some people, it'll say mechanical inspector UMC. And that means that when ICC formed, they grandfathered them, and they still renew the license.
Yeah, carry that on, you still.
But the license isn't issued that way anymore. It just says either a limited inspector or a combination inspector.
Right.
We don't list any of their codes license that they're certified in anymore.
Mm-hmm. Because I've got my UMC, I've got my UPC, and I've got my ICC certs, because they're still states. They use the uniform codes.
Right. And I'm on the opposite. I'm certifying in UMC because we're doing work in other states.
Exactly.
But they won't show up in ICC.
Yes, they do. Mine shows up on there.
I don't think the new ones will.
The new one may not then.
The old ones do, though, for sure.
Mine still showed up there.
Well, and a couple of years ago, I know that I initially just started out, it was a certification for life. and I want to say about 20 years ago, that they then went through and said...
Switched it.
Due to a CEU system. So there's still...
So one challenge with ICC is they've actually expanded your ability to renew expired certifications. So like Jason Von Weller, he went to Iraq for a couple of years, his certs lapsed, and when he came back, some of them were within a time limit that ICC allowed him to submit and get them back. Mm-hmm. Other ones they made him retest on. Mm-hmm. And now they've expanded that. I don't know what the allowance
is. We just hired one 4 or 5 months ago that he had to go through training, some more CEUs to apply.
Right.
To
if the you UN. Do the training, but yeah. If it were 10 years ago, they'd say retake the exam.
Yeah.
And don't most jurisdictions, when you hire a building inspector or make them a building official or whatever, don't you check
I think
for
the
current
problem
ICC
is
certs?
We do. Yes. You have a limited inspector who can only do plumbing and building. It's really easy for a building department to justify, well, he knows mechanical and electrical, and then they're doing inspections.
But I'll tell you what, I come from back. One of my first jobs as a building inspector was to fire a special inspector off of a job site because of forged documents.
Yeah.
So having seen that and seeing what happens, I'm leery of it. Now, not everybody's been in that position.
Yeah, and that's what I'm
but
worried about.
We've got an inspector that has his plumbing and mechanical. That's all he does.
Yeah.
And we watch his licenses. We watch those for that reason. We know that Dobble can come.
But I know there's...
But
I know jurisdictions
won't
fit. Yes. Are not
exactly.
Worried about it at all.
There are. Yeah.
Because when I first started looking into this 15 years ago, just going through, okay, who works for Riverton or whoever, random city, I'm not picking on who.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They would have 4 guys. So I'd put those 4 guys into ICC. No one in such and such city has commercial electrical, period. And then you go to the next city. No one in this city has. Now, those problems have pretty much gone away, but.
You're still going to have those cities that are going to be doing that.
Yeah.
And Sharon, when you, the renewals are automatic, so we can't check the renewals. They already renew online.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd only be if they sent in a paper renewal that we could.
Pull up on one screen all of the building inspectors and go to ICC and type in their names.
You can verify them one at a time?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we could just do our own internal audit without even noticing that there was an audit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Theoretically, it's possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, I'll be honest,
so do you think it's a concern? Do you think, well, and we do pull them up when they apply.
Right.
But we've never, like, just pulled up building inspectors and started checking for ICC certifications. I really thought ICC was pretty adamant, and I thought the jurisdictions were pretty good at keeping track of all that. But apparently, and this is really just one complaint, so maybe it's just one person, and it's not, I'm asking, do you think it's a statewide issue?
You know, I think it's going to be hit and miss.
But I think it's going to become more an issue in the future.
It could. But right now, I think most jurisdictions are aware of their inspectors from the licenses they have.
Okay.
You're going to have those few.
What I think happened was so-and-so gets the job. Other guy pulls him up on ICC, and he's missing cert.
Mm-hmm.
I probably know this situation, actually. It's all coming back. Anyway, you look the person up, and they have... the system on ICC shows they're missing all these certs. Well, what happened is those certs had lapsed, which happens.
Yeah.
And then that person goes back and gets their certs back. And in that scenario, it's not like they knew less one day over the next. It's just they were, it'd been less of days ago.
Well, and that's true, but it's still, if you're a contractor and you're built and your license is expired, it doesn't matter if you knew less the day before, you're working without a license. And so it's the same thing with a building inspector. If you're not certified, you are unlawfully working, you're working with an unlawful, you know, license.
Agreed.
And we want to make sure that we're consistent.
But what we're talking about here, though, is doing a spot check on what's current right now you're not really talking about going back, say, okay, let's look at...
No, it wouldn't
be Jared Thompson for the last 20 years and see what he did.
You're already talking about non-renewal.
We're just checking if you renewed. So we would look at those who renew, just kind of spot check and see, well, does ICC say they are currently certified? Because they told us they are and they've renewed their license.
So the only search...
So we could do some of those.
Only search you could really do is Sharon could check all the combination inspectors. Because everyone else is just going to show limited, and you don't know what role they're filling with that limited license.
That's true.
But they still got to have
something
to do with
A certification.
Yeah, but I mean, we wouldn't know if they just had A certification. We wouldn't know if they were inspecting electrical and they only got a mechanical certification.
Right, yeah, exactly. That would be up to the jurisdiction to have to do.
But we could find out, we could do a spot check on the combination and see that the ones we checked.
You could even do a spot check on the others and see if they still even have a license with ICC. You're right, you may not be able to check which one, but you can
there
see
could be
current with them.
In theory.
You can see if it's current with them.
So, Sharon, let's make a note, because they renew the end of November, so maybe starting in about January, we have to audit the HVAC contractors continuing ed. And that's one we have to audit them manually, because we can't track HVAC classes. So we're going to steal.
Well, you can't track them down.
Not in our system. They'll be in our system, but it won't. It would allow them to renew. It'll say they've got their 6 hours continuing ed. It'll say three of them are live. It'll say three of them are core, but it won't say if three of them are.
Because that voice has that in there now. Because I just barely put that in.
Well, I know you
got one approved for that.
Right, but we're not tracking it on the licensee itself saying that he has 3 hours of HVAC.
Okay.
So, and they know that because we sent a letter.
Right.
But they could still renew their license even if they didn't have their HVAC.
Yeah, they got them all freaking because of you guys.
I know. And, I mean, that system just has to keep tracking.
So when I was doing my research, there was this massive group of people with ICC certs, and then there was this group of people licensed with the state, and there was a ton of overlap. But then there was this whole section of people that had licenses that, according to ICC, had no cert. And then there was a whole group of people that had certification with no license. And those were always a confusing thing because I'm...
Why would you get certified and not get a license?
Yeah, unless you came from another state and now you changed professions.
Yeah.
And then the other people that were licensed, but according to ICC, had no certs.
And those are the ones
we're interested in. Those are the ones that were a mystery.
Well, and those are the ones we're interested in, because if they're claiming they have them and they don't.
Well, I could send a list of that group to Sharon.
If you have that list, that would be perfect.
It's from 2014, so some of it's outdated.
But it would
give you a starting point.
Yeah.
Not that I'm trying to, like...
Is it a huge group?
Like over 100 people.
Okay, that's not a huge group.
Well, when you only have 600 in your whole party.
Okay, why don't you send that to us? And then we'll do an audit in January. We'll check those out, but we'll do an audit in January and see who actually has their certifications.
And I think there will be some that have, they appear to have no certs through ICC, and then when you talk to them, they'll say, oh, well, here's my cert from whatever other organizations from...
Okay. And that's okay. If they have it, it's not that big a deal for them to send it to us, and all is well. But that people get audited all the time, so that'll be great. Okay.
Okay.
Number four.
I didn't make this agenda up. Is there somebody that... Is this your item, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this,
go for it.
This came from the meeting previously when Jennifer was going to reach out to, the Board of Education and several others talking about partnering up with...
Pioneer Adult Rehab LDS Services, Workforce Services,
and
Board of Education.
Yeah.
Jennifer was going to reach out to them, get some info from all those organizations.
Mm-hmm.
About promoting the building
inspector licensing.
License.
And I didn't know if you had anything, Paul, you wanted to add, Richard, I'm doing anything or...
You know, I do a lot of code updates, and all the inspectors are invited to it.
Yes.
And, you know, I have not done anything especially for inspector licensing. I think it would be nice if someplace central like Davis or in that area towards the...
You've got a construction program management program. Construction management program.
Weber and
Weber
State. SUU now has one?
Yeah, we're getting accredited right now.
But we don't have a construction management program. But you know, I think I get a few calls of people wanting to know if I've got classes to be able to become a building inspector. I'd never be able to hold them because I don't have enough people up
yes,
there.
Exactly.
You know, 100,000 people or so up there. And I just don't have
enough
people.
You might have one or two that would be interested.
But I think if we had someplace central like Davis that would offer, you know, and I'm not, you know, trying
it's
to...
It's just speak. The demand. No.
But they used to do that.
I want to speak to the construction management schools that have that curriculum. Because I'm a product of that. And I can attest that their building codes is one semester, and it's fly through it as fast as you can. And where it might be advantageous is if there's a city that's booking or something wants to be there, that we have a resource that says, hey, if you're interested in this stuff after being here one semester and hearing what's going on, and you like this, then contact these people and we can get you going a little bit further.
But you know, Kimball Engineering did a building inspector training about 2 years ago with money from the UBCC Education mm-hmm. Advisory.
Were you involved in that one?
And,
I think he's in the videos.
That was really successful. Mm-hmm. And we had quite a few apply to become at least a limited mm-hmm. following taking that. It wasn't about a 6 month deal, like once a week for 6 months or something.
Right.
At a lot of their own expense.
And that was done on a webinar type yes. basis too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They did local and webinar.
There were about 12 to 15 people that would show up live. Mm-hmm. But it was like Monday mornings at 6 a.m. in Farmington. So mm-hmm. kind of a not real convenient time.
No,
that location
is
convenient to some, but not everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it was done as a webinar, and then you could go back and look at it.
Yeah.
Still can, to some extent, through their program that they have.
So UVU just shut down their inspection technology program because what's his name retired?
Fred Davis
retired, but they were having, you know.
Fewer and
fewer. Four to six people. Mm. They needed eight to carry the course, and it was always on the border. And then
and that's frustrating. Yeah. Try and offer it and then have to, I get the same thing with, you know, every other year I'll have electrical and plumbing continuing education, and the off year you don't have it, and you have the procrastinators that come in at the very end of the next year so they get their licenses. And
right.
They, you got to have these classes for a while. I do. But I don't, because you don't sign up for them. And so, you know, it's checking. But something, if they had something like what you had, that you could, you know, do an on-demand type thing.
So we
that would be a good
created
thing.
That. So we basically created a for-profit online training to get your certifications. And now we're trying to expand that into, you know, hey, you want to get your CBO or you want to get your whatever other.
But that's what you mean. Like,
that's what we've done, and we have users in like 40 states now, and that's kind of the thing, is there's one state or one small state population isn't enough to really carry enough of the training demand-wise. So you kind of have
to. It's expensive to do that way, too.
Bigger net.
So anyone that was interested that called us and said, you know, Eric, if you receive training, we could actually refer them and say.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got one there, but you also have, you've got the Utah chapter, Bonneville chapter that are once a year holding somewhere.
And that's kind of where I've directed them, is to get a hold of the local ICC chapter.
Well, that's nice. Do they have online training also?
They do. They have online training as well. And Utah chapter's putting on something at least once a month.
Yeah.
So the chapters are a great resource. Same.
Chapters are probably the best place to start.
The challenge is, so I'm on the Beehive chapter. I'm promoting our own training all the time. We had one last week. And I'm teaching at Bonneville chapter, and I go down to Utah chapter in St. George. So I'm definitely not steering anyone away from the
But chapters. Any of the ICC chapters that were convenient for.
But if I hire a guy and say, hey, I need to get certified as a, you know, mechanical inspector or something, you send them to a chapter and it's like fire hose of information.
Yeah,
and that's what's hard.
That is what's hard there. But I mean, hopefully though, if a jurisdiction has hired that person, they're going to have the connection for the training that's going to be necessary to get that. But to come in and, I mean, say, okay, you've got the WC3, you've got the chapters as resources, and ICC as resources that you can call upon in your training. I think that all those options are out there, and you're not directing the person just to one thing, saying, hey, I need you to go to Acme.
Yeah.
And
that's what we want to do.
Acme testing, but Acme training or anything. But you're going right, you know, we're the state doesn't want to send everybody right to the one thing, but having a broad thing open that they can say,
right.
Do you ever hire, like, inspectors in training type thing? Where you
not allowed to
somebody?
By state law.
Oh.
We do all the time.
No, they don't inspect, but we shadow the inspector.
It's
kind of an experience. It probably would, because you wouldn't get anything out of it.
We've done it with four guys now, from no certs to full combination.
Oh, wow.
It just takes 7 months, and in that 7 month period,
they can do
we're paying money out.
Yeah.
We're not giving anything.
Yeah.
Mine has been at least start with at least one. Mm-hmm. And then we'll train from there and expand with that. Because with the right one, I can earn.
I can utilize the precious city funds. Yeah.
When you hire them, do you say, well, we want you to be a combination inspector at a certain amount of time?
We haven't gone that route yet, but we're going to. We're headed that road. I know that there are jurisdictions that have hired people on and said, great, I'm glad you got one. You have 1 year to get all the other seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the challenge, like Vineyard, they hired a kid out of UVU Construction Management. He got all his certs. 3 days after he got combination, he went and took a job at Lehigh.
Yeah.
So now that city just invested all that money in that guy.
Yep.
That happens.
And the other city takes the benefit.
Lots of professions as well. The state and the state or the jurisdiction or whatever will train them, and then the private sector.
That's one of the reasons why they went for master license.
What happened?
Electricians and plumbers.
Yeah.
Because we have hired and no certifications, but we hire them also as a maintenance, because we got five buildings in the county that we maintain. And we say, okay, here's an incentive. You get your certifications, you get a pay raise, you get to go out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got four or five that we've done that way.
So that's awesome.
So, but we have other options to work when we hire them,
when
we look into what we're doing.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it looks like it's at least increasing a little bit. Mm-hmm. I've been worried about the numbers because everybody's phasing out age-wise.
I'm always worried.
Are you pointing to me?
I'm not, because you're not an inspector. You and I are phasing out age-wise. I'm just thinking in the last year, the ones that I know that have retired.
Yeah. Well, in the last 30 days.
Jennifer, Kathy, or Brent Ersenbach, all those guys. But he's retired from his jurisdiction.
There's still a group of about 20 to 25 guys that are close to 70 that are still working. So we kind of have this false sense of security. I'm like, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah, but
everyone in that category,
the next day,
could be like, well,
see you later. We had Chad on the list. He retired 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Just don't say check out.
Yeah.
Or you got Bob Fry out there, 83 years old, still technically working.
Wow. Okay, I just have one other quick thing, if I may, Chairman. Is that okay? Just coming down the pipe, there may be a rule change that does affect building inspectors. Our bureau manager that's over the professional engineers and the architects wants to make it, the architects, their board and the engineer board have both talked about the fact that sometimes a building inspector will be aware of either an architect or an engineer who is very subpar in what they're doing. They want to make it mandatory that if a building inspector is aware of that, that they report it to DOM. So, you know, and that would be a big judgment call. I mean, you know.
Having already gone through that process once, though, of reporting one in, I don't know where that makes it any easier.
Okay, the actual language says, a building inspector knowingly failing to report to the division an act of omission of a licensee under title da-da-da-da-da, which is the architects or the professional engineers, that would be considered unlawful conduct.
So failing to stamp plans or submitting plans mm-hmm. without engineering or...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, I mean, in those cases, we turn around and we say, hey, you haven't given me your stamped plans. It's like, oh, they just didn't copyright it, and then they...
Well, sometimes it's like, I'm an architect, I'm going to do this building, and I'm going to design the mechanical, electrical, plumbing myself.
Okay. And I know that I can see. Okay, I can understand that one.
Yeah.
But just to turn around and every violation that we, I mean, that's...
No, I don't think no. That's what it means.
Okay.
It's just when left uncorrected constitutes a hazard
when
to public health and safety.
So left
out. So, yeah,
so
they
work with
but if you're aware, because what we hear is somebody saying, you know, God, we've got this architect that, seriously, he's always submitting the worst plans, and it's we don't know about it.
But
it's never reported.
There's a difference between worst plans and violations.
Well, and it says
well,
that
the,
right
the violation
here.
Plans.
It says
that,
knowingly.
Yeah.
Knowingly.
And creating a hazard when left uncorrected constitutes a hazard to public health and safety.
Knowingly.
Yeah, and knowingly. So if the same guys are always submitting plans and you're aware of them, you need to report it so we can do an investigation.
Yeah. And what I'm saying, though, is that there. I have a guy that comes in and his plans, they are difficult to follow. But they're correct.
Okay. Well,
but they are, and everybody says they're the worst plans. But they are in his mind, and once you get in that mentality of how to read the book from the back to the front, they're correct. They meet the code. They're not a violation there. So everybody saying these are the worst plans.
Okay.
That
was the wrong language.
That's what I'm
I don't mean that the plans themselves are bad, but the plans.
Violate
public health and safety.
I would be in favor of a system where it's like, okay, I report on architect so-and-so, and it goes into DOPPEL. And once he has 6 complaints, it triggers some sort of a review. But if it's on a project-by-project, it's just there's no way to not end up, you know, I don't want to be the one who... So-and-so gets called in and, oh, here's this project in this city, and he reported you. He knows exactly who reviewed it, exactly who reported him, and that puts you in a really awkward situation.
And that's the same thing we hear about every kind of
violation
or investigation, is nobody wants to, nobody likes what's going on, but nobody wants to say anything about it because they have to work with these people, work with these contractors, work with these building inspectors, so, I mean, it is a
problem.
But
if you have 4 different complaints or more, it's like, well, here's this project, here's another one, that's why you're here, now it's, hey, the industry is saying that this isn't
that
acceptable.
You have a pattern of unacceptable.
Not so-and-so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll report that back. If this ever comes to pass as far as these two boards go, I'll keep you updated on it.
That'd be good to know. Thank you. Is that everything? I make a motion to dismiss.
Okay.
Move. by Jerry and seconded by Terry. All in favor?
Aye.
It's now 11:20 a.m. and the meeting is adjourned.
The next scheduled meeting is December 17th. So if there are items for the agenda, we'll meet, and if not, hopefully it won't go a year again, but that's when it...